Good morning again. If you would, please go ahead and open your Bibles up to Matthew chapter 5. Also, it would probably be beneficial for you to place a marker or a bookmark here. This is going to be where the majority of our reading is this morning. We're going to go to some other passages first. That's why I'm saying place a marker here. I just want to start off by saying that I count it as a wonderful privilege to be able to study and come up with a sermon and present it before this congregation. Hopefully, I'm as accurate as possible. But I know and I have the hope that if there is something that I mess up on, that I have a loving congregation that will help me, and we are to help each other grow and correct each other. And so I say that out of appreciation that I am able to get up here and do this. So I want to start my lesson off by asking a question I've been asking myself recently, and I want to ask you. It's also a question that may be hard for you to be truthful with yourself about, so I hope that it challenges us, but in a good way, as we read through God's Word. So my question to you is, can you go a day without sinning? That is the question that I want us to continue to ask ourselves through this lesson, is can we go throughout the day without sinning? We talk about examining ourselves during the Lord's Supper, setting that image, that mirror of Jesus in front of us, and that is what we are striving to align our lives with, that perfection. And if my sermon was going to have a title, it would be Perfection. So let's start off and look in Matthew chapter 5, specifically verse 48. And as I said, we're going to read a good bit in this chapter, but this is the crux of my sermon this morning. 48. You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He says you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. There's this command form of this. And this may seem overwhelming. I know that it is overwhelming to me to read these words from Jesus. Overwhelming, may seem unattainable at times. We hear things all the time such as, we fall short of the glory of God daily. Honestly, that comes from Romans 3:24. We are told we fall short of the glory of God, but it seems we added in the word daily. We hear stuff all the time about my goal is to sin less today than it was yesterday. But I want us to realize something when reading this, and we heard it a lot throughout Leviticus when we were studying there, and we're seeing it a good bit in Mark, in the study of Mark, that this idea of this perfection and this striving for perfection is not something that's new or foreign to the Bible. Nothing foreign about it in the Scriptures. In Leviticus 19:1-2, this is Moses laying out the law, of course, and we're told that he's telling them so that they're set apart from the outside world. But he says, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." And then 1 Peter in chapter 1, he echoes this from Leviticus in verse 15. He says, "Just as he who called you is holy, be holy in all that you do." If you remember in the Gospel of John, in chapter 8 and verse 11, this adulterous woman is brought to him by the religious leaders. They're telling him to stone her. Of course, we know that that doesn't happen. But when he tells her to go, he doesn't say, go and try to sin less. He says, go and sin no more. And then lastly, if you would like to turn to this one, please. 1 John in chapter 2. And I want us to hold on to this verse as well for this lesson. I want us to hold on to it because if you were to split this verse up into two sections, A and B, we're going to look at this first part of this verse first. The first part of 1 John in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin." So once again, This idea of being perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, being perfect in aligning our path and our life and how we talk and act with Jesus' life and the Heavenly Father's life is not something that is should be foreign to us. It should not be unfamiliar with us. We see it all throughout the Scriptures. But I also would like to say that in this lesson, in my being up here and preaching, that it is not me who can tell you how to be perfect. It is not me that tells you what you must do to reach this perfection. And I cannot, you know, create you a checklist on these are the steps that you must take to obtain this perfection. But hopefully in this sermon, I can lay out some ways and present these scriptures to you in a way that makes us think, and of course we know that He, Jesus, can tell us how to be perfect. And that is my goal, and I want to talk about a couple of things that may need to happen for us to start to strive for this perfection. If you would, turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. So a couple of things that need to happen for us to reach this perfection that is talked about and laid out here in Matthew 5:48 is the first thing that may need to happen is there may need to be a shift in our mindset. As I said earlier, remember, the ultimate goal is not to sin less. The ultimate goal is to be sinless. And a couple things that have to happen for us to strive for that is we have to have a mindset change. Romans 12 and chapter 12 and verse 2, we have to be transformed by God's word. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So, number one, we have to be transformed by the Word of God. And to do that, we have to be in the Word of God. We have to put aside the things that the world says is perfect, the things that we desire, and we have to look towards what God says is perfect in His perfect will. We have to be transformed by God's Word. We have to realize that while it may seem unattainable, this is a goal that we as Christians should desire to strive towards. We should desire this perfection. We should desire to have a sinless day, a sinless week with our actions and with our words. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 12 and 13. Now, of course, Paul here is talking about the resurrection of Christ and obtaining the resurrection of the dead. But we see in this passage that he is striving for this greater goal. He desires to obtain this resurrection of the dead, to spend eternity with his Father in heaven. Verse 12 says that, "Not that I have already obtained this or am perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So we even see Paul here recognizing that he has not reached this perfect state. He has not grasped and held on to this perfection, but he desires it, and it is a goal that he is striving towards, and that is how our mindsets should be wired. So we have to be transformed by God's word. We have to desire this goal. And another thing, a very, very, probably the most important thing, one way that our mindset has to change, is that we have to remember that as Christians, we have the power, not ourselves have the power, but we, through Christ, have the power to overcome this temptations and sin that is laid out before us. Turn to 1 John chapter 4, please. 1 John chapter 4 and also 1 Corinthians 10:13 are going to be a part of this section. Verse 4 says, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world." Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." So not only through this walk of as a Christian does Jesus supply us this love and this strength to overcome our sins, but we see he sets up an escape plan in every temptation that we have. And if we seek that we could get out of that. And so our mindset has to shift. And that's why I started this sermon off by asking you the question, can we go a day without sinning? Is because I believe that we should think that we could. We should think that we can, and we should strive for that. Knowing that God is there to help us. Knowing that he will provide a way of escape. Let's turn back to chapter 5 of Matthew, please. Another thing that we need to focus on and realize to reach this perfection that is laid out at the end of this chapter is we need to realize the standard that God has always held his people to, the standard that Jesus was holding these people to here in this chapter, and the standard that they hold us to as Christians today. And so I'm sure you're familiar with this, a few of the "you have heard it said, but I say's," and we're going to go through those, and I want to talk about this, because ultimately, and this is not the totality of his standard for us, but it does paint a good picture for it. So we're going to start in verse 21. 21 and 22. "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother without a cause will be liable to judgment. And whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says 'you fool' will be liable to hellfire." So, if you want to be perfect, be intentional with your attitude towards others. Keeping God at the forefront of our minds. Not hating. Not presenting yourself towards others with malice and hatred. If you want to be perfect, do these things. Verses 27 through 30. "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one of your members than the whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell." If you want to be perfect, if you want to strive for this perfection, flee from lust, whatever form that it presents itself in. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 22 says, "Flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace." If we want to be perfect like Jesus, our mind has to think this way about lust. 31 through 32. "It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you, who divorces his wife except for the grounds of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery." So if you want to be perfect, remember that your wife is to be loved as Christ loved the church, Ephesians 5 and 25. And keep in mind that what God has joined, no man can separate, Mark 10, verse 9. If you want to be perfect, do these things. 33 through 37. "Again, you have heard it said to those of old, You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath. Do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair black or white. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. If you want to be perfect, have integrity in your speech, always telling the truth, even when it hurts. 38 and 47. You have heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the ones who beg from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Turn back to Romans chapter 12, please. If you want to be perfect, seek peace. Verses 17 through 20. Repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so as far it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on their head. This is the attitude that we should have towards vengeance if we want to strive for perfection. We should seek peace, loving our enemies, praying for our enemies. So if we want to be perfect, we do these things, right? But here's where I want to correct myself in my own sermon. We need to be careful when viewing these things as a checklist. This is not a checklist for perfection. This is not, okay, I did this, and I did this, and I did this, therefore I'm perfect. Because if we remember, that's exactly what the Pharisees were doing. That's exactly what he's preaching against right here in Matthew chapter 5. The Jews viewed it as, well, I hate my brother, but I didn't murder. Check. I divorced my wife, but I gave her a certificate of divorce. Check. I hate my enemy, but I love my neighbor. Check. Therefore, since I'm holding to all these things, and we read about it in Mark this morning, their minds were focused on the law. Their minds were putting their laws and traditions above God's law. It's a checklist to them. Because I held these things, I am righteous. And we need to know, we need to remember that is exactly what he's preaching against here. And we talked about that it's a matter of the heart. That I've been trying to show you these things through the law the whole time. What I'm saying now is actually what I really meant from the beginning. What I'm saying now is what you missed. And I hope you get it now. But thank the good Lord that we can look at this and we can apply this to our lives, hopefully not having to learn this lesson and be rebuked as they were being rebuked. So don't view it as a checklist. Seek Jesus. Just one chapter later, and I know he's talking about our earthly treasures, but the concept of seeking first the kingdom of God fits here just as well. If you want to be perfect, you seek first the kingdom of God. You seek first Jesus' righteousness and his statutes and walking in his ways. Our examination of ourselves at the Lord's Supper, we should be doing that daily. Setting the mirror that is Jesus Christ in front of ourselves and working towards that. So if we want to strive for this perfection that is laid out in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, we have to shift our mindset and realize that there are some things I need to think differently about. We need to remember the standard that Jesus Christ holds us to, the standard that he has always held his people to. And I hope that this hasn't sounded like a brutal sermon so far, as in, how dare you not be perfect. That's not what this is. And so hopefully, the third way that I think that we can reach this perfection or strive for this perfection, I want to correct myself, we will not reach ultimate perfection on this earth. And I'll get into that in just a second. But it seems like it's been a pretty brutal sermon, but I want to leave us with some hope. If you want to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect, you need to know that you cannot do it on your own. If you want to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect, you got to have Jesus Christ. We cannot achieve this on our own. Ultimate perfection requires total submission. Turn over to John chapter 15, please. And look at verse 5. It says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. It is through Jesus Christ that our journey of perfection begins and ends. And I told us to hold on to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Let's go back there, please. If you remember, I said that our mindset has to shift. We have to realize that he's writing these things to us so that we don't sin, so that you do not sin, not so that you sin less. But when you don't have a perfect week, when you do sin and when you do fall short, the second part of verse 1, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Excuse me. On this journey, when we do sin, we're trying so hard not to. It's bound to happen. Unfortunately. But while we're walking in the light, as 1 John 1, verse 7 says, as he is in the light, his blood washes over us and cleanses us of our sins. And if you think about Hebrews 2, verse 18, he came down to earth and he was tempted as every man was tempted. And he is able to help us because he knows the temptation. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 16. He was tempted as we are. He understands, and we can draw near to his throne of grace, receiving mercy. In that verse it says, confidently drawing to the throne of grace. So we can't do this on our own. And I had the feeling that this was going to be a hard sermon to preach because it is a great calling that sometimes we do underestimate. Sometimes we don't understand it. But we need to remember these things, that we are called to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. But when we don't, we have an advocate with the Father. So I'll leave you with this. This is not going to be, it's not easy. It's not easy. And that is our goals as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to help each other on this journey. It's going to take a lot of focus. It takes discipline. It takes intentionality. Stopping and thinking. Constantly having Jesus at the front of our mind, his life that he lived, so that when we stop and we think about the words that we say to somebody and how we act in front of people, are we wearing the name Christian properly? It's not going to be easy. And I hope that this sermon has encouraged us that we need to be striving for this perfection. We need to say yes when somebody says, can you go a day without sinning? Yes, I think I can. And then greater love have no man, and he laid his life down on that cross for our sins, so that on our not so perfect day, we can have forgiveness for our sins. I thank you for your attention. We leave this time open now for anybody who is not a Christian who needs to be baptized. And who, if you're already a Christian, if you need anything from the congregation, prayers of the congregation, whatever you need, if you would come forward as we stand and sing our song of invitation. Resolve no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest,